Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesdays, Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. And BA, I got to imagine that was a very fun viewing experience for you on Saturday night with moments of like just fury in the middle. Like when that was happening with the refs and all the garbage on the field and all that stuff, I would have paid money to see your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, it was probably one of the wildest games that I think I've been a part of because of what you just said, that I think for me and a lot of the Georgia fans, it's this simultaneous feeling of true euphoria because you're beating the number one team in the country on the road, and yet also total, you know, enraged anger because of what the officials did, you know, in terms of, as Kirby says, they tried to steal it from us. You know, you had both those things kind of going on at the same time. It created quite a sort of a potent, I guess, mix for Georgia fans. Really one of the wildest sort of emotional roller coasters I think I've probably ever been on.
I wanted to ask you about that Kirby statement. Everyone's heard it by now, I'm sure. There was a lot of great stuff in it, but one part was when he said that they tried to rob it from us. They tried to take it from us. What did you make of him saying that on the field right after the game?
So to me, it was a very human moment from Kirby because I feel like when I do my show, and you know, Andy, I don't know if you're the same way or not, but I have to have like a little certain filter that I speak through because if I'm not careful, you know, I don't like everybody and I don't like everything. And I might just come on one day and just start telling the truth about everything that I feel and in a way that might, you know, get me in some trouble. Well, you know, we use a filter to make sure that we kind of don't take it too far with certain things. But if you just got through playing a football game, in this case, Kirby coaching one, that filter doesn't work quite the same way. And so if you listen to Kirby in this post-game interview right after the game is over with and compare that to the press conference, which is like 20 minutes later. There's a little bit more of a cool down, a little bit more relaxed. Like what Kirby says on the field with the, you know, sideline reporter is a lot closer, I think, his actual feelings than maybe what he says when he has time to kind of turn the filter back on. And so I think if you're a Georgia fan, the thing that you like about this entire ordeal is Kirby Smart, your athletic director, Josh Brooks. There was a pretty strong defense of Georgia in this, in that the officials totally, you know, broke protocol, did not administer the game properly. It was essentially anarchy. And this was a time in which I think it was not just okay to lose your cool, I think it was appropriate to lose your cool. And in that moment immediately after the game, Kirby just kind of let it rip. So if you're a Georgia fan, I think you love it.
B.A., thought one of the keys heading into this game was Carson Beck had to be cleaner throughout the game than Quinn Ewers. And I don't necessarily would – Quinn Ewers wasn't very clean, but I wouldn't say Carson Beck was either. Three interceptions. I know it wasn't all on him. Is this just part of the process with the Georgia offense? Is there a way you can maybe get this thing to run without the turnovers?
Yeah, at this point, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've certainly tried to sell it on the idea of it's a process growing in the right direction, and now I'm just not quite so sure. Here's what I'll say. And I kind of joked about this a little bit on Monday. This is the version of Georgia that everybody who's not a Georgia fan hates because Georgia played pretty sloppy offensively. You know, Kirby even joked about how many drops there were. There may have been eight or nine. There were definitely three interceptions. Carson didn't throw a touchdown. That's a pretty, I mean, overall, just bad day offensively. Yeah. And yet Georgia won by 15 points at Texas. Like, that's a really obnoxious level of success when your offense misfired as badly as Georgia's did on Saturday, which leads you to believe if they ever could put it together for a complete game, then my goodness, what does that add up to, right? I mean, you know, there's a chance that Georgia's got an A-level performance that no one has a chance to match, but we're also however many games into this thing now, and maybe that just never quite shows up. So I think we're still as unknown as ever in terms of what Georgia's actually going to be. Will they ever find the gear offensively while also playing well defensively? Perhaps they won't. But if they do, man, oh, man, whoever they're playing that day is going to be in some real trouble.
Do you think there's any chance of sort of altering the game plan or what they thought was possible with Carson Beck, given the way that it's gone through this point of the season. Like, all right, we thought we could run these plays. We thought the offense could look like this. I don't know that we can. Maybe we downshift and go this way. Because, like, an A-level performance would be insane. I think you'd take, like, a C-level performance, C-plus level performance from Carson Beck right now, given what some of these big game games have looked like from him. So I just wonder if it seems pretty clear that everyone was mistaken about what type of quarterback he was. Do you have to change the way that you call games now with him?
Well, so I don't know that I 100% agree with that from the standpoint that it's not like that people who are making their opinions about Carson were basing it on, like, potential alone. Beck played last year better than he played this year.
Yep.
And now you can say, well, Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers. But the truth is Ladd McConkey was hurt almost all of last year, and Brock Bowers was certainly hurt for a portion of last year. So, I mean, I think that Beck still has better play in him than he's shown this season. I can't fully explain why it hasn't been more consistently, you know, better, but I do believe, based on a proof of concept from a year ago, that Beck's got better play in him. And, you know, you can snicker at this if you want to. I also think that Beck throwing the ball is probably still better for Georgia than the old school keep chopping mentality of Kirby Smart when it comes to the running game. I mean, I think it's pretty telling on Saturday that when Georgia had some early success with the running game, that didn't create more rushing plays throughout the game. I think that's probably a little bit of a tell. They don't completely trust their ability to open up those holes and create consistent kind of gashing plays in the running game. And by the way, the fact they did not get the fourth and short at the end of the game that would have ended the game, that's probably evidence that supports their point that I don't think they have full confidence in the running game. So for as spotty at times as Beck and the receiver play has been, that is probably still their bread and butter offensively. I mean, I want to say, I may have the specific percentage off, but I think directionally correct. I want to say they're throwing it like 60-something percent of the time this year. That is a wild imbalance compared to what Georgia typically would be. And the fact that's coming with some Beck struggles, or at least the perception of some Beck struggles, makes that even more alarming. But I just think that speaks to they do believe, for as spotty as it's been, that's still their best option offensively.
Brandon Adams with Dog Nation, host of Dog Nation Daily, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. B.A., we always thought the potential was there on the defensive side of the ball. Now we've seen it. So kind of a two-part question. What did Georgia do to unlock it, and how did they continue to showcase that level of defensive performance consistently every game moving forward?
Well, to me, it's two things. Thing number one is, and this hasn't gotten as much attention, but you had three guys that played the lion's share of the snaps in, like, regular running down situations. Christian Miller and Warren Brinson and Azeer Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. And Georgia really shut down the run in this game in a way they have not been doing for probably the last 2 years. Now, some of that's because Texas isn't great running the ball right now, but still, Georgia gets a lot of credit for that. But even better, man, I think that a lot of Georgia fans have been waiting for a while to see the edge rush play. This is the spot where you probably have some of your better overall recruits, but also maybe some of your most unrealized potential. But Mikael Williams looked healthier on Saturday. Jalen Walker, who's kind of a hybrid, a little bit of an inside and outside guy, I mean, he looks like probably the most draftable player on the Georgia roster at the moment, and probably the highest drafted player, you know, for this upcoming spring. And then in addition to that, you know, Damon Wilson, a former five-star, he may have played some of his best football ever. So some of this was a position group for Georgia that is among the most valuable positions in football overall, but at times has kind of under-indexed its performance. Well, Saturday that was not the case. Jalen Walker had basically a historic day. Mikael Williams was certainly taking strides towards being what he can be, and Damon Wilson is solidly in the mix too. Good day for Georgia coming off the edge, and that made it really tough on Texas.
B.A., I don't know if you've given this any thought thus far. There's just been so much, like, good actual football stuff to talk about, but I think it's an interesting topic. 100th win for Kirby on Saturday night in his tenure at UGA. Obviously, you take out the championship wins, the playoff wins, the SEC championship. Just talking about regular season wins, where would you put what happened on Saturday night in terms of ranking them?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's a fun topic. I would have it number two. To me, the biggest regular season win in the Kirby Smart era was beating Clemson in 2021. Okay. As a Clemson team that had been in six straight playoffs and had won two national championships, that was a real underdog spot for Georgia where they had to raise their level to be as good as Clemson had been, and they were able to do that day. I'd put this number two just ahead of Tennessee in 2022 because I do think this Texas team is probably better on par than on both sides of the ball than Tennessee was then. But for me, it'd be that order. Clemson in 21, I believe it's the best regular season win for Kirby. I think this is second. I think the Tennessee win we all remember from a couple of years ago in Athens is probably third.
B.A., you head into an off week now. You've got the cocktail party against Florida on the other side. If there was something you feel Kirby Smart is going to take this extra time and focus on with his team, what do you think that might be?
Well, I do think they got to try to figure out how to get these receivers to catch the ball better. I don't know how much you do that during the season, but you got to try to figure out some way to be a little bit more reliable. And I think that Kirby kind of tipped his hand Saturday night, too, when it comes to the back end of the defense. For as good of a day as it was for Georgia defensively, only giving up 15 points, he said that, hey, we still got to finish plays better on the back end. Hard to know exactly what he was referencing there, but obviously, you know, you had a couple of, you know, big completions for Texas in the game, I guess. And so that's still a sticking point for Georgia, too, where I think they want to be a little bit more sure in the secondary. And perhaps some of that's young players like Ellis Robinson continuing to be on the rise or whatever it is. But I think those are probably the two things right now. Got to be a little bit more sure-handed when you try to catch the ball. And I think he still wants to see a secondary play a little bit more soundly to go along with what was seemingly a very good day for the front seven.
We had this conversation in the noon hour just about like trust meter with all of the coaches in college football. Kirby's one, obviously, no question, take him out of it. But just think about the other coaches in the SEC. Like, if you're talking about a game that you need that team to win, who's the coach in the SEC, non-Kirby, that you trust them?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most.
Well, I tell you who's kind of coming to their own a little bit right now. And, you know, if I thought about this longer, I may give you a better answer. But I do think it's interesting how little attention Brian Kelly gets because of, you know, they lose week one seemingly every year, right? And so they're kind of off the radar after that. I don't think that people really like Kelly. But he made a pretty big statement, I think, after an emotional win at Ole Miss, I should say at home against Ole Miss 2 weeks ago, going on the road this past weekend. And they handled Arkansas pretty easily.
Yep.
He's probably got the best quarterback in the SEC in Garrett Nussmeier. And they're just playing better defensively than they, you know, maybe have in a good while. Obviously, they brought over Blake Baker from Missouri. I think pretty quietly a guy like Brian Kelly is performing week to week pretty well from a coaching standpoint. And I don't quite know that people have fully recognized that yet. So I think to a degree LSU is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I guess if I could add another one here, it's obvious that Mike Elko is a tremendous upgrade from Jim Harbaugh from a coaching – or not Harbaugh, but Jimbo Fisher from a coaching standpoint, obvious coaching upgrade. And it could get pretty interesting for the Aggies. They also have a fairly favorable schedule. as you start thinking about a major showdown with Texas near the end of the year.
Well, I was going to say, what do you know? Those two coaches play each other on Saturday night on ABC, LSU, Texas A&M. Should be a really fun one. Hey, enjoy the off Saturday. I would say from an emotional standpoint, certainly earned it last Saturday. We appreciate it, BA.
I've never been happier to have Georgia not playing a game than this upcoming Saturday. I think we all probably needed after this past weekend, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, just take a breath, and then it's a cocktail party. Brandon Adams, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.